Good morning, everyone. We have a pretty full audience here this morning. You know why? We have some people that are visiting from in town that just moved from Florida. We got some people from Minnesota that are visiting this morning, and we have some people that are from Kentucky as well. So I adjure you, if you're here and this is the first time, wait till after the services and let everybody get to know you some better. But you know, I noticed that you got the round of hands to meet everybody between services, so we're really glad you're here. Oh, Troy's saying, Bill, turn on your thing because he can't record it if I don't. And people can't hear very well if I don't do it. So now I got it on. I'll make sure I've got this. Everybody turn to Philippians chapter 2. That's where we're going to begin our discussion this morning, Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read about three verses in Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 19. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state. For they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a child serveth the Father, so he served me in the furtherance of the gospel." The Apostle Paul thought very highly of young man Timothy. And he speaks inspired by the Holy Spirit, okay? Paul didn't just write stuff down. Paul wrote stuff that the Holy Spirit told him to write. So guess who else thought a lot of Timothy? The Holy Spirit. And he reminds the people that he's writing to, the church at Philippi, but also to us, because the Holy Spirit has kept this word pure. He speaks to us about this proof of Timothy, what kind of man he is. I would say he's talking about Timothy's faith, the proof of Timothy's faith. And though he's a young man, Timothy had the things that the Apostle Paul needed to further the gospel, he said. You see that? He says, "But you know the proof of him, that as a child served a father, or serveth a father, so he serveth me in the furtherance of the gospel." That's what Timothy did. So let's talk about that this morning. So I don't know. Can you get me, and maybe I'll get through that. Okay. The first way that we see that Timothy's proof was, we'll see in just a moment, three ways. But let's talk about what the proof of faith is. Now, to do this, you have to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Everybody turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So, when we have faith, it is the underlying proof of the things that we hope for that God has told us about. But it's also the evidence of things that are not seen. You know, we know that there's a moon. How do we know there's a moon? Because we can see it, right? We know there's a sun because we can see it, right? You know there's a pew in front of you because you can see it. You know the hand in front of your face because you can see it. I recognize my wife because I can see her, right? But faith is the evidence. It doesn't say it's the suggestion of, or it doesn't say it's a great feeling of. It says it's the evidence of things not seen. Everything in this world, look at verse 2. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. Everything that you've witnessed, these elders witnessed, were around faith. And he's going to talk about all these elders in the rest of chapter 11. We call it the, I do, I don't know what you call it, but I call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. Right? It's the Holy Spirit telling me who has faith and to be like them. You see that? And so, everything we see in this world, everything we experience in this world is proved to us by sight. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit brought us those things which ear heard not and eye did not see. All the things that God wants us to know that we can't see. God made the creation for us to look at stuff. But there are things in His Word that He wants us to know that we cannot see from the world. So believing in God without faith then, because, by the way, given to us, which eye saw not and ear heard not, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which are not in our mind, but in God's mind, it says, we understand through faith. And it can't be, we cannot be pleasing to God unless we understand those things. Look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing unto Him, for he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. We must do what God said to do through the Holy Spirit in this Bible. Faith can only be developed by an understanding of God's will. Look at Romans chapter 10. That's a great verse for everybody to know. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, but what do we hear? We hear the word of God, hearing the word of God. That's what it says. So faith can only develop. Does it change? Well, it doesn't change. Look at Jude 3. Jude 3 said once it was given, and Jude is right before Revelation. Jude 3, there's only one chapter in Jude. And Jude 3, the verse 3 says, Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of your common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the what? Faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. It's just delivered one time. And why? Because it does not change. Now let's talk about Timothy. Timothy had scriptural proof. Timothy had scriptural. Paul wrote that Timothy learned the scriptures. Look at 2 Timothy 3. How did Timothy learn the scriptures? Turn with me over to 2 Timothy. Verse 14 and 15. Here's what he says. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15. And that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What brought Timothy along to this faith that he had? This proof of faith that he had? The scriptures. Well, who introduced those to him? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. This thou knowest, that all that are in Asia turned away. I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? I think it's 1. I don't think so. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 1. I got the wrong verse in there. I still don't have it. Hey, somebody tell me where it is that he learned it from his mother and his grandmother. It's right there in the first. I don't have it in here, do I? Oh, yes, I do. Look at verse 5. I said 15. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, though. He says, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Hey, that was a test, by the way. I'm joking. I just missed it. Having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded it's in you also. What? Those scriptures, he said. So, he had scriptural proof. And where did he learn it from? He learned it from those two ladies. That's who he learned it from. And what'd they do? Well, they said, well, so Timothy continued to study. He had to study the scriptures to learn them. We must study and make application to prove our scriptural faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the scripture says all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for proof, for reproof. Let me go start back over. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It tells us everything we need to know, you see. So we need to study it. You know, the Bereans did that over in Acts chapter 17. On the Apostle Paul's trips, he went to Amphipolis and Apollonia and then Thessalonica. He just came down the peninsula there and he went to those places, but after that, he went to Berea, which was right on the end there in Greece. Okay? Right before you get to the end. And look what happened in verse 11. He says, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the You see what they did? When they had a preacher, even Paul, Luke's writing this, and he's writing about Paul's journeys. He said, the people in Berea checked up on what Paul was saying. You see that? So, we have to have scriptural proof. Some don't want proof of the scriptures. Turn to 2 Timothy. Look what he says to Timothy in the second letter, in chapter 4. I didn't write 4 there, but I do mean 4. Look what he says there in the first 4 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables. You know, that's what you can do with truth. You can either reject it, or you can take it. And that's what these people, Paul said to Timothy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to preach the word. And in season or out of season doesn't mean in winter and summer necessarily. It means when it is accepted and when it's not accepted. You see that? When people want to hear you and when people don't want to hear you. So some people don't want the proof of the scriptures, as Paul said there. But the scriptures need to be applied and used. So, in Hebrews, again, Hebrews chapter 11, 11 through 14, let's read. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised words. Wherefore, also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars, heaven, and multitude, as of the sand, and is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were and that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. Look forward. They need to be applied and used, and not just because we're going to be there now, but because we can see it in our mind's eye. Just like the people that the Holy Spirit talks about in Hebrews chapter 11. All right. That's one way that Timothy, it's proved by the scriptures that Timothy had this faith that Paul thought so much of him, and so did the Holy Spirit, you see, because he had scriptural proof. Not only, but there was living proof from Timothy. You know, the question is, can we prove by around us, just by being conformed to everybody else, you know, because it's the majority of things. Can we prove God's word? Well, the answer is no. God even said that. God even said that in Romans chapter 12. Turn with me over there to Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman brethren these words. He wrote this: I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or service belonging to the reason. Your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be ye not transformed, or be ye not conformed to this world. Don't just take everybody's word for it. Don't just fall into the majority. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye, what does it say? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we get out of the herd mindset? We are transformed from the herd mindset by the will of God. That's what we do. That's what Timothy did. We must work the works of God. We must prove our faith by doing God's works. Over in James chapter 2. Now, James chapter 2 is a significant chapter. Because James chapter 2, the question is posed. Do you have faith or do you have works? Which one is going to save you? Well, James chapter 2 says both. But what does James chapter 2 say about faith? Faith does is not just an acclamation that I believe. James chapter 2, the Holy Spirit says, if you believe, I'll know it by your what? Works. Isn't that what it says? Look with me down here, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? If a man say he hath faith, but hath not works, can the faith save him? If a brother be, or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, ye are warm, be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I will by my works show thee my faith. You see that? So, we have to show our works, show our faith by our works. Guess what Hebrews chapter 11 is? It's all about those people showing that they had faith by their works. Remember Rahab the harlot? Man, it was a big thing for her to let the spies of Israel come through, right? And to hide them, wasn't it? She could have lost her life and her family's life. And she chose to choose God, and she was no longer a harlot. And she chose above all those other things and hit them. And later on, when Joshua and Caleb came through, their family was saved. We have to prepare. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's a set of scriptures there beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, that says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we were made alive by Christ in the first 10 verses. Okay? And it's a gift. It's a gift. It's because we believe that Christ can save us. He gives us the gift. But does works have anything to do? Well, it's not of works that no man should glory. Well, he's talking about works that God gave us to do, because in verse 10, well, let's through 10, and then we'll get the whole scripture. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works that no man should glory. I'll talk about those works in just a moment. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, good works which he aforetime prepared that we should what? Walk in them. What kind of works are we supposed to walk? Stuff we make. You know, God's got to be great with this because, you know, we're making it up in good faith. No. We show faith. We don't make up stuff in good faith. We show our faith by doing the works that God prepared that we should walk in them. Do you see that? Verse 10. God prepared aforetime that we should walk in them, not our own works. Go with me to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It had nothing to do with us. We didn't think of stuff to do that would be well-pleasing to God. He thought of stuff for us to do that would be well-pleasing to him. You see that? Well, let's go on. Now, let me read 4:5 again. Not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the water regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, whose grace? God's grace. That's how we get it. We might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, brethren, this is verse is telling us. Look at verse 8. Faithful is the saying, and concerning these things I desire that thou firmly, that thou affirm confidently, to the end that thou have believed God may be careful to maintain what? Good work. Now, there's a set of scriptures that sound like great works. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Beginning. It says, I may have it on here. I not yet. Matthew 7, 21. Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Who's talking? Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everybody that says, I believe in the Lord. That's what he's saying. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that, what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And by thy name do cast out demons, right? And by thy name do many wonderful works or miracles. What does Christ say he's going to say? That said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied by your name, by thy name cast demons, and by thy name did miracle. From me, I never knew you. What? Iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is lawlessness. Look at 1 John 4, verses 3 and 4. Tells you what it is. It's sin. So let me tell you something. I'm not supposed to. Oh, and you're not either. I'm not to say, Lord, Lord, call him my Lord, and say, you know, prophesied by your name. people today, we prophesy the Lord's name.
A lot of people.
Been books written beyond this book over and over and over again about people prophesying other things that God didn't say. How about casting out demons? Sounds good. Didn't tell me to do it. And how about miracles? I can heal people, right? Lord, Lord, I can heal people. No, I can't. Lord didn't give me those things. If I say that I've done it, if I say that I've made up rules side by name, and I say that I can cast out demons, I have power over demons, and if I say that, I can do miracles, he's going to tell me, get away from me, because you're not doing it according to the law. You see that? So, not of works that I have thought of. These are works that I would think of, right? Not works that I have thought of. Paul told Timothy to be an example in his living proof. Look at chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. But the Spirit saith expressly, verse 1 and 2. Or, I'm sorry, verse 12, I'm sorry. Let no man despise thy youth, and be thou an example to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, and in purity. How are you supposed to be an example, Timothy? You do it the way I told you to do it. Manner of life, in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. So Paul called Timothy his fellow worker. We just read that. But let's read it again in Romans 16 when he's given, you know, this is all the people I want you. So where's Paul? Well, he's not there. He told the Romans in Romans chapter 1, he said, I long to come see you that I might impart on you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. But in chapter 16, he's given, I want you to say hi to all these people. And Timothy's one of them. Look at that in verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, saluteth you, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sopater, my kinsman. Sopater, my kinsman. He says, these people want to say hi to you. And they want to be with you. They are my fellow worker. So the third way. So we've seen spiritual proof. We've seen living proof. And now suffering proof. We have with me to 1 Peter. We talked about this in the class this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. Through 23. Read with me. Because Christ also suffered for you for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went to the spirits in prison, those that were dead in sin, that aforetime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved through water, which also after a true darkness doth also now save even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authority being made subject to him. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind, for he that suffereth in the flesh hath ceased sin. You know what? It says you're going to suffer. And it goes on to say in chapter 4 that people make fun of you because you don't run into the same excess of riot as they still do. You see that? Wherein, verse 4, they think it strange that ye run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So, there's suffering that happened. Timothy was going to suffer by taking God's will prosecuted or persecuted by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this, brethren. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some of you are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and I will know not the word of them that are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a couple of chapters over. So what will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and the spirit of gentleness? How's it going to be? Okay? And you can read chapter 16, too, 10 and 11. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, anytime you have decided to do what God says, you're going to be persecuted for it. Look what 2 Timothy chapter verse 12 says. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I mean, that's a very short verse, but just see what it says. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say could be. It says if you're not watching, it doesn't say any of that stuff, does it? It says you will. You will suffer persecution. You will. But back over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you. Don't think that's strange. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice, that ye at the revelation of his glory also may rejoice with exceeding joy. If ye are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler in other men's matters, but if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. Glorify God. The Lord for everyone. And he made us. First it says, the word was God, and there wasn't made anything in the world without him. And then, down to chapter 14, it says, and then he came and he dwelt among us. And you know what we did? We crucified. That's what we did. The Apostle Paul, in his writings to Timothy, tells him this, 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16. He says, of whom ye also do thou also beware, for ye greatly withstood our words. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account. Paul said, when I needed folk, they ran away. Be a good teacher and a good listener. People have already, he says, have turned aside. In 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16, he said, they've turned aside and gone after Satan. But he says, what's God going to do? This is our last point. God has, as John on the Isle of Patmos, as he was writing to the seven churches of Asia, John wrote, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's what we got to do. You know what? Why did Timothy have so much good to have been said of him, of Paul and the Holy Spirit? Because he had scriptural faith. He had living faith. And because he had suffering faith. He had all those things. If for any reason this morning we can help you with your journey of faith, let us help you do that. You'll not be wrong, because the Lord said it. You'll not be wrong because the Lord said it. If for any reason you'll come, would you come now as together we stand and speak.